Blog Talk Radio.
What a rush!
Hey,
we chasing S high.
What a rush!
Come on.
I can see clearly because the rain is gone, because the rain is here. The rain is here. Man, you know what, y'all? First of all, let me welcome everyone on Facebook, our folks streaming, live in the studio. I appreciate you all for checking in and giving your boy just 2 hours or this hour or whatever you decide to give me today. I appreciate it. Truly appreciate it. Now, I told you guys I'm on a new post now, and I drive a totally different route to and from work. I hate this new route. It's over by National Stadium. Now, I will say this. Today, I walked around the stadium area and, you know, I went and got me a Freezy from whatever the name of that place is. It's one of those famous Freezy places. So I got the Freezy and, you know, just viewed what I'm around, what's around me, right? So I said, yeah, you know what? This is going to be all right, man. And it was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because I take my lunch at 1, y'all. I just like to take a late lunch. But I took it at 1 o'clock, so it hadn't started raining yet, you know, at least seriously raining. It was a little drizzle, but it wasn't nothing serious, nothing to stop the beautiful day that it was. When I get off at 3 o'clock, y'all, I'm trying to tell you, everything changed. Everything. And it wasn't even raining hard, but it was raining consistent, but it wasn't raining hard, you know, like a serious slowdown type situation. That traffic coming around that park, first of all, I don't like the new direction that the guys built for the route for travel, for the traffic to travel. It's crazy. It's like you got to go way to the right to get to the left, way to the left to get to the right. Then when all cars merge together, if you're trying to make a left over by Anacostia Subway, or you're trying to keep straight onto Suitland Parkway, it is utter chaos, y'all. So I got off at 3. I did not get home until 3:49. Not complaining. Still had enough time to play a round of golf on the Xbox. So you guys know that calmed me down and light me a cigar, so, you know, that helped, but I don't know who in the ham sandwich idea it was to make that path that they've made that path up. That is crazy to me, y'all. That is crazy to me. It's like it adds 5 to 10 minutes on your travel time, because everybody is trying to get to the same place. I mean, they have exit to 295 on one side, the entrance to 295 on another side, the turn right there by the subway on one part. And then, I mean, everything is just all colluded and together. It's just crazy to me. But you know, I made it out, so, you know, no complaints, no fussing. I was just amazed that a trip that normally takes me about 20, 30 minutes ended up taking me 49 today. And the only attribute that I could say or contribute to my long ride was the rain. It was the rain. The rain is the only thing, only equation that was added today that just wasn't, you know. Anyway, I made it home. You guys are home and safe. I'm so thankful for that. You know, praise our God, you know, for doing the things that, you know, we've asked, and even the things that we didn't ask, you know, for looking ahead and foreseeing for us when we didn't even ask him to. Gotta thank him for that. Gotta thank the big man for that. All right, guys, on today's Kale's Corner, we'll discuss the up-and-coming MLB season, you know, where some teams have picked up new players, you know. So we're going to talk about those moves and those additions, rather, to these teams and see exactly, you know, where we see an advantage for one team over another. Okay, we will take a second look at the NBA second half. You know, teams are beelining. My mother used to say that, y'all, and I thought about her as I was writing this, so I had to put her words in it. Beelining for the postseason. So, you know, I was watching Milwaukee the other night, man, and I know what some folks here on the corner had to say about Doc and his transitions and everything, and there's some folks that I have to give props to, because I ain't seen Doc doing exactly what one of our Tail Corner family said he needs to do. And that Milwaukee team looking strong, man. That roster is looking very strong to me. And there's a few other work that, are shaping up. But it just looks to me like that Milwaukee team is ahead of a lot of teams. So we're going to discuss that. The NFL coaching combine. Well, the NFL coaching combine. Not coaching. NFL combine. Say that three times. NFL combine is approaching. This Thursday, y'all. This Thursday, they start at the combine. And I know it feels like, well, dang, football just stopped. But, hey, football is now a year-round business. That's why those players are paid like they're paid, and football goes on. Trust. So, yeah, we're going to look at these positions. Today I want to take a look at wide receivers. I want to look at wide receivers, and we're going to say the top 10 receivers that are coming out today. And spoiler alert, we already know Marvin Harrison Jr. is classified as number one. Number one. I'm telling you, Chicago, boy, we'll get into it. And I want to know, who do you think your team, your individual team, is most interested in picking up? We're hearing reports that Caleb Williams is on the Chicago radar, and Justin Fields will be leaving Chicago for a number three draft pick, and all this. So we got to figure it out and see what's what. But for me, just another spoiler alert, I'm hoping my team picks up an offensive lineman. Seriously. That's the draft and free agency is where you build your offensive line. Some people say your whole team. You can build your whole team through that manner. I'm just saying offensive line. We got enough money and we have enough draft picks to get some good offensive linemen. So I want to go after them offensive linemen, y'all. All right. Tails Corner. We're keeping it real. Is our only real. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, y'all. I don't know. I think I want to hear a little bit more. I can see clearly now. Is that all right with y'all? Hey, yeah, that's what's up. 563-999-3782 is the number to get on the corner. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're keeping it real is all we do. Y'all talking about? Y'all forgive that language for me, but like your boy was over here partying. I'm trying to tell you, man, that Northeast Groovers in '94 was everything. They was everything. They used to get them up and moving. So yeah, all right, y'all. We have some spring training games going on right now. We got the Rockies and the Royals in the sixth inning. The Royals are leading 4-2. We got the Athletics and the Guardians in the bottom of the fifth. Athletics leading 7-1. I mean, it's a litany of games. We got the Sox, White Sox playing the Dodgers, bottom of the sixth, 4-3. Your Cubs said, your Chicago Cubs playing the Reds, they're in the bottom of the seventh, 3-0 Reds. Baseball is officially back, y'all. Baseball is officially back, and like I was telling y'all about that walk that I took today, you know, I was right outside of Nat Stadium. And I was just like saying to myself, man, I can't wait. I can't wait, you know, to be this close to the stadium. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And this older gentleman walked up to me. He said, "You're a true baseball fan, huh?" I was like, man, I'm a true sports fan, period. But, yes, I am a true baseball fan. He was like, man, he said, when my company moved down here, I did the same walk that you're doing for like 2-3 weeks straight. I just cannot wait for baseball to come back, man. And then he got to talking how in the sixth, seventh inning, if you got high seats, they'll allow you to move down to the lower bowl and all of that. And I was like, yeah, bro, I know that. I know that. I said, I'll be doing that this season. Trust. But, yeah, that's our scores thus far. Let's go to my man Lou in Jersey. What it do, Lou?
Batter up.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
You as anxious as I am, Lou. You feeling like your boy, man. I can't wait, Lou.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's, you know, spring training has no bearing on how the regular season is going to be, of course. So you know, I'm just hoping that the Yankees will have a better season than last year, because last year was one of our worst things we had in like 30 years. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can get out of that rut. Ugh.
But Lou, let's keep it real, man. Your Yankees been doing good for a long time. I think, and now that y'all have snatched Soto, I'm like, boy,
yeah,
they doing it again. Right before our eyes, they doing it again, trying to stack. Now, I'm not mad at them for doing that because, hey, if you don't get who is the best for your team, you're not trying. So we can never doubt the Yankees for not trying, because every year it's a big story, a huge signing for these Yankees. So, you know, you can't be mad at the team for trying.
No. Of course, the Dodgers got Otani, so that could be you know, a challenge as well, you know. It's their individual
seasons,
but, you know, the Dodgers got their top ace, so it might be a very good year for them.
But is Otani completely healthy? Do we know that?
No, not
completely. Is he completely healthy?
To be honest, no. He's not going to pitch this year, but he is coming up to bat.
Okay.
To be honest,
I'm more worried about Otani, the pitcher, than the hitter.
Because
we see the human side of him as a pitcher. I mean, as a hitter. But as a pitcher, that boy got an S on his chest. You understand me? And he be dealing out there. He be dealing, so... We'll see. Let's take another call, Lou. Great response. Forgot you was with the Yankees, Lou. I don't know why, but I forgot you was with the Yankees. Let's bring Chicago Cubs. Huh?
Did you think it was
the
Mets?
What? No, I'm sorry.
Did you think it was a fan?
The
of
Mets?
Mets?
Yeah, I thought he was.
Mets
is a good thing. M-E-T.
I have friends that are Mets fans, but not me. I have friends, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's bring this Chicago guy in. What's up, kid? How you feeling, bro?
What's your smile?
Come on, Ted. Unmute that phone, boy. Let's get it. You're on.
Hey, what's going on, Kills? From the family? How y'all doing? What's going on, Lou?
All right.
What's up, bro? I thought you were feeling some
also,
type of way.
Hey, and also, you got to put slash socks.
Yeah. And I said he's feeling some type of way because I ain't say socks. So Cubs and socks. You're absolutely correct.
That's right. Cross season is among us, and it's a long way to see how people look. But
yeah.
I hope we just stay healthy.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
And I think we can make
a run
and stuff, you know. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Man, to me, baseball starting back up, it signals the season change for me, you know. We're about to go into the spring, you know. And yeah, I know April shower, bring May flowers and all of that, but
listen.
But it's just, you know, the season changing is what it signifies to me. What you laughing at, man?
Well, I can relate to what you was talking about your opening soliloquy because I was driving from VA, from Howard Dentistry. You know, well, that's around the corner from the VA, man. And you talking about like, around that time, three, you know. So, and you talking, and I passed, so they routed me after I got on in the tunnel to South Capitol, you know. So I passed the ballpark also, you know, Audi Field and all that stuff. And hit South Capitol going all the way, going all the way South Capitol to Atlantic and stuff. But, man. He talking about somebody frustrated, Jack, and oh man, I'm like, oh, man. This is the day I chose to drive for Sheila because, like you said, it was raining. She was like, yeah, go ahead. I'm like, oh, be quiet and let me drive. Don't say nothing.
Don't say nothing.
Man, I was cursing people out because people do the stupidest things, man. I was like, oh my God, awful. Man. You know how I was. So, I had to come home and woosah, you know what I mean?
Hey, look.
Immediately.
Let me tell y'all a quick one. Sharice and I, Reese Cup, were, I forgot where we were going, but Ted drove, and I went on and let Reese jump up in the front seat. She was all hype. Yeah, I'm in the front. Ted got to driving. Old girl was reaching for the back seat belt. Do you hear me? She was scared as all over. Because Ted used to be a lead foot. He don't drive like that no more. But Ted used to be heavy on that gas. Do you hear me? And, man, she was so scared. We got out the car since then, baby. You going to have to sit in the front, baby. I can't sit in the front. I said, why? She said, I almost threw up in the car. I said, oh, my goodness. Come on, Ted. You got my girl all scared up here. But that was showing up funny to me because she always screamed, why you always get to sit up front? Why I never get to sit up front? So when Ted was driving, I let her sit up front. And she, hey, look. And she never said anything else about sitting up front unless I'm driving. If I'm driving, yeah, she's going to sit up front. But, hey, she don't bother me at all about riding in the front seat with anybody driving. And
well,
we know the rules, you know.
But well, I'm a professional driver, you know, and that's why I like love NASCAR and stuff, you know.
No doubt, no doubt. But your passenger that wasn't a professional passenger. And it, hey, you scared the hell out of her. I laughed like I was in the back seat cracking up, y'all. I was in the back
she
seat
wouldn't
have cracking
about
up.
That. She wasn't aware about that getaway driving. I'm gonna cut something. I did a U-turn on Sheila downtown today. The thing was,
oh Lord,
her little thing was telling me this and that, man. I missed Third Street coming from Sixth Street in Massachusetts,
right,
and stuff, man. Oh man, and we'll be around and fire trucks coming through, ambulances, and like
mm-hmm.
I said, I can relate to, like you said, how the traffic was, Jack. It took me an hour
mm-hmm.
to get home, an hour and 5 minutes to get home, man.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. But let's move on.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry.
It shouldn't take an hour to get anywhere in the city. It really shouldn't, you know? It really shouldn't. All right.
During that time, it's worth
let's
out.
Go to... Yeah. Let's take this to Denver. Let's take this to Kirby in Denver. What's up, Kirby?
What are you doing?
Hey, everybody, how you doing? It's baseball time again. I'm looking forward to Frank Howard and the Washington Senators and the Brooklyn Dodgers and Washington Bullets.
Hey, Kirby, don't watch the black and white. Don't watch the black and white TV, man.
I always like to listen and learn because I don't keep up with baseball much. The Rockies really suck out here. Then, you know, the Broncos are all excited about their coach Peyton, and they won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, and then the basketball team, the Nuggets are doing good, but the Rockies ain't worth a shit. You know?
Oh. Watch your mouth, Kurt. Watch your mouth. My wife's mad at me.
She said, I want something in the driveway that goes from 0 to 140 in a few seconds. So I put the bathroom scale out there. She didn't see the humor in it.
That's crazy. You know? That's a good one, boy. That's an excellent one. That's stand-up material.
Hey, Kirby, don't you get in trouble. Don't you get in trouble, man. You know. Mrs. Kirby. Mrs. Kirby, that is your husband. Dizzy Kale ain't say nothing about that. I'm telling him to stop. Let's go, Kirk.
Well, I always said being married to me for 35 years should qualify her for sainthood, you know. But I'm gonna mute myself until you start talking about Sam Howell and football and trading him or keeping him and all that. I listened to Rick Doc Walker today over there on the fan, the 106.7, and it was a really good conversation about that.
I ran into JP from the fan, the junkie. He went on, Kale, this is why you don't call us no more, huh? I was like, yeah, man, I'm working hard, bro. I'm working hard. I didn't want to tell him the truth, y'all. I wasn't on the corner, so I ain't had to tell him the truth, you know what I mean? But, a little bit of Kirby was starting to come out your boy, man. I had to bite my tongue a little bit. Kirby, seriously,
I've really learned a lot from you young guys, because y'all keep up with everything, and that you know, it was a real great conversation. I really enjoy hearing what they have to say about all sports, you know.
Yeah,
That's what's up. That's what's up. And we appreciate your attendance. Yeah, talk about ain't nothing like going down the roster and got the show folks in the house. Yeah, talk about. That's what's up. That's what's up. All right, Kirby, I'm gonna mute you. I'm gonna mute you till we get to the draft.
Kel, let me ask Kirby a question real quick, can I? Hey Kirby,
ahead,
how long you lived in Denver?
Yes, sir.
How long you lived in Denver?
Oh, we've been here about 6 years, 7 years. We're actually from San Antonio, Texas. I was up there in the DMV from 1970 to 78. And that's the reason I got to be a Redskin fan was Vince Lombardi came there in 69. And I've always been a Lombardi fan. I was not so much a Packers fan. I was into college football more back then, Texas and Arkansas. But when Lombardi came there, the whole DMV just went crazy. And he brought us the first winning season in 14 years, you know. And then he passed away, and then George Allen came. And I had season tickets to that till 78. But, I would like the Bullets and the Senators and the Washington Redskins. You know, I got that burgundy gold blood in me.
I got you. Yeah, I was stationed in Colorado Springs.
Air Force.
And I got some folks still up in Denver. Yeah, indeed. It's a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah, the mountains are something else. I tell you what, especially being from Flatland over in South Texas, you know. I mean, you can see 5 miles down the road. But here, you know, you got these beautiful snow-capped mountains. And, you know, the weather's a little cold for an old Texas boy, you know.
Right.
But, in fact, it was so cold here last winter, I saw a lawyer with his hands in his own pockets. Yeah.
Okay. Not his own pocket. All right. It's my man, Kirk. We come back to you, Kirk.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it.
Combine. We got to talk about that combine a little bit.
Yes, you do.
All right. Baseball. Back to baseball. Kirby get me every time, y'all. I just get into to my fellas' conversation and forget all about what we talking about. Spring training. And, I see Ohtani doing good, but
yes,
at the same time, like I said earlier, I prefer Ohtani the pitcher. I prefer the pitcher because, I mean, his handle on that ball, I mean, it's very few pitchers that throw that ball exactly where they aim for it to go. You know, we see some pitchers and they lose control and, you know, they're trying to throw a little bit inside off the strike zone, and they end up hitting somebody with the ball. You know, we see that too much. But with Ohtani, it's like his accuracy with that pitch is just crazy to me. It is crazy to me. And he has one of the most beautiful curveballs that on record right now. Now, I'm not speaking about, as Kirby said, the Senator days and those pitchers and everything, but in my era of really into baseball, watching baseball, yeah, I haven't seen anybody. Oh no, the closer for the Yankees. What Rivera? That was his name, right? Lou.
I believe it was, yes.
Louis. Yeah, Rivera. He's another guy.
It was
guy.
Manny Rivera.
Yeah.
Manny Rivera.
Yeah, Manny Rivera. He's another one, man. I mean, you can just, wherever he wants that ball to go, that's exactly where it's going to go. And it's funny how during my younger days, I wasn't really the scene head that I am now. So, and I hate that I wasn't really, really into it. Back then, for me, baseball was more fun to play than actually watch, you know. But now that I'm older, you know, I can appreciate everything in baseball. I'm talking about bunts. I'm talking about stolen bases. I'm talking about the signals that the managers send out there to the third base coach. And it's just so interesting because it's so much happening, and I finally really know what's going on, you know? So I mean, that's just why I appreciate the sport now. Now, let me ask y'all a question. We all know the new ruling that they came out with last year. Do you guys think that those rules are going to affect the game a little more, or do you think the players have adjusted? They're ready for it now.
I think the players have adjusted to it. It took them a while in the first few weeks of the season, but now I think they've grown accustomed to it, so it shouldn't be much of a problem.
Okay. I hope so because that, I'm gonna tell you, that counter on the pitcher, I really did not like that. I didn't like that. It was like, that's like once the quarterback has possession of the ball, they're saying, oh, you only got this much time to get rid of it. If you don't, it's a penalty and all this and that and the third. I believe as a pitcher, you have to have time to go over in your mind your scouting report on who you're facing. Like, we all know Barry Bonds. When Barry Bonds stepped up into play, you had to be prepared for him as a pitcher, or it was going over the wall. It was going over the wall. So, and then in that performance enhancement days, you know, with all of those guys, I know you had to prepare yourself as well, because it just seemed like everybody was hitting like bombs at that particular point in time. So
yeah.
I really don't hope that pitch count destroys the game, you know, the way we love it now. But again, like I said, you know, everything in baseball has its own time, and once it shows itself in that time, you know, there's a lot of people that walk away from the game upset, dissatisfied, and feeling like the new rules cheated them of the love of the game. If y'all get what I'm saying. I know I'm talking in riddles and roundabout here, but a lot of people have expressed, that there's no reason for no new rules. The pitcher should be the game. They want to speed the game up, right? And to me, baseball is not a game that should be sped up. It really isn't. Baseball is a game that should be thought out and truly played like its intentions. But I can get with some of the people who are like, you know, it's boring. You got the Yankees playing the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are not really hitting. The Yankees murdering the ball, and to some people it gets boring. To some people seeing that it gets boring. I'm telling you, baseball is the one sport I can watch a blowout and enjoy it, for real. I can watch a blowout and enjoy it. And, I mean, every pitch has its own storyline. You know, just because they're winning like they are in the fifth, that don't mean come that sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, the other team won't strike a comeback. I've seen that several times. The team that's not supposed to win, exactly. The team that's not supposed to win all of a sudden come on strong, and they're winning. So, you know, it's just, I understand we love fast-paced sports. Basketball, football is a little faster. You know, for some folks, golf, tennis, and all of that. But baseball is a sport that you have to think. You have to seriously think. And sometimes I myself find a little thrill or excitement in making the same call that the manager made. You know, seeing the team do exactly what I thought, it was a Nets game. We were playing the Atlanta Braves. And I said, man, we should bunt the ball to move a couple of bases, and we can even bring a run in. And sure enough, I forgot the dude's name, man. I forgot his name. I see his face clearly, but I forgot his name. But anyway, he bunted the ball, and it completely disorientated the pitcher. And we ended up getting two runs off the bunt, and the line kept moving, meaning first went to third, and the bunter went to second, and that pitcher just looked as if, you know, what in the hell is going on? And that, I like that. I like that a whole lot. So, yeah, I mean, it's different things in the sport. I know a lot of people don't really enjoy it, but it's different little things that go on in the sport that you can find enjoyment. Come on, Ted.
Well, everything, you know, like we've been saying, is pretty towards offense and scoring, you know, with the pitch count, you know, like you say, that with that, when you get to take your time, that's strategizing on defense, you know, like you say, holding the runner, holding the batter, you know, getting the signals across, you getting your timing together and all that. So, you know, that disrupting that. And also with the shift, they change, you know, you can't do that no more. So it's like I say, they want the more runs, you know, besides of cutting out, what, 30 minutes they say they cut out of a, you know, instead of a 4-hour game, it's 3 hours and 30 minutes pretty much for a regular.
Right.
But, yeah. But and as far as Ohtani, that means how tough and valuable he is that they got him in for batting, you know, that they need that. But I think they should just wait till he just totally healed because, I mean, even when he's healed, he can get hit by a pitch, or he also can be injured. But I would just wait till everything is right, you know, to get him out there to do what we actually had him to do, pitch and hit, you know. So, you know, like you said, his fame is pitching, but he also his fame is going up there socking home runs because his first time at bat in the spring training. He stocked a homer. So, you know, that they need the bat, I guess, and that's going to be dangerous also because they're trying to sell that ticket. So any way that you can get them out there for that high price you're paying for them, you got to sell them tickets.
Yeah.
And they want to see
it
at any capacity. Real quick.
And
take
you know what?
A half
I'm
a
not...
tiny.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say they take a half of Tani, other than a whole of Tani. If they, you know, if they can't get a whole one,
right,
give me a half.
Yeah. And I don't understand why that is the play, because what I always say, the best ability is availability, and they're thinking, okay, well, you know, keeping them active and moving will help better than just sitting him out altogether. But I'm with you. I'd sit him out for real. He is too valuable of a player to lose in a manner of you just trying to get all you can get, you know. So, you know, we'll see. We're at the very beginning of it, y'all, and I want us to stay up on what's happening with baseball. So once we get to the thickness, then we'll be all in order and ready to roll. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Hey,
All right.
Real quick, can I say this? Real quick, Gil. Now his shoulder's messed up. I've seen, you know, and also, you know, he can also mess his shoulder up by batting, because I've seen when his shoulder had got hurt last season, he had batted one time and it had hurt him. It had bothered him.
Right.
So,
right,
like you said, like you just said, agree. Shut him down. Shut him down. You know?
Yeah.
Shut him down.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why you're not, but I'm the type, I always look at the possibilities if you don't. You know what I mean? And that's a great risk. That's a great chance that they're taking by keeping him going like that. You know, if the man can't do everything that you need him to do, then just rest him until he can. And I've never seen a situation where a player that pitched and hit was set out from one aspect for the whole season, and you're still going to play him in that manner for the next one. I've never seen that. So, you know, hey, first time for everything, right? That's what they tell. So, yeah. All right, y'all. Great baseball conversation. We'll be right back. We'll be right back when we come back. NBA time. NBA talk. All right. 563-999-3782 is the number. Tell somebody.
DMJ.
I got it. I got it.
I said, that Milwaukee team, man, look at here. And I said at the top of the show, I was going to give props. I got to give props to Brother Ted, because Doc is doing exactly what Ted said and putting Portis in that starting lineup. And they are a completely different team. it looks like Giannis has bought into to Dame now, and I mean, now we know once Middleton comes back, we're going to have to see exactly how he'll be utilized as well. But the way they're playing right now, and you know, when you look down up and down their roster, they are the example of two teams in one. They have a healthy supply of big men. They have a healthy supply of guards. They have a healthy supply of forwards. Everywhere you look at this team all around, they just seem like they got it together and it's clicking for them. Now, the only thing that I would worry or think heavily on is I don't want to wear them down before the rigmarole of the NBA playoffs come. I wouldn't want to overuse them, you know, but, and even with that, you know, when I watch the Wizards play, y'all, I'm screaming at the coaches, I'm screaming at the players on the floor, you know, he needs to come out, put him in. And it's just like when Doc makes a substitution, it's like the team doesn't miss a beat, does not miss a beat at all. And hey, like I say, man, all props to Tilly because he said that. He said that he should start Bobby Portis. And they've been a different team since he started Portis. Go ahead,
Ted. Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah, like I was telling them, man, I mean, you know, we had some people say that they don't like Doc. I guess it's personal reason, but like I say, all I know is one thing, Doc can't coach. That's where I learned how to play basketball from. And I know how to play basketball. I know how to coach basketball. Like you say, you know, and you know, George, you know, if he got a winning team and he knows where to put them pieces together, you know, he tried to do that with Philly and what have you, but they quit on him. You know, he had them leads, yeah, 3-1 leads or whatever, and you got to look at some players got hurt. You know, so, but I know he won one. I know he's a championship coach. And I think he's a player's coach also, and he can assess what he has, his weapons, and like you say, move him and maneuver. And we haven't even talked about Middleton yet, you know,
right.
And stuff. And so because he ain't really been up like he had was when they won the championship, but I think he can slowly come along, and I think with that bringing him off the bench. So, like you say, that makes them have two teams in one, you know, like you said. So, they're big. They got a big front line. You know, you put Lopez on the three-point line, and you let Giannis buy in to posting more, you know, and instead of, you know, rim running, as far as bringing it up dribbling, rim run, man, you know. Run without the ball. You got guards to bring it up and let them bring it up. And at times, you can bring it up at times. Go ahead.
Let me say this, and we're not going to hawk on this, but I'm going to say this. Who a man and woman chooses to marry, that's their life, that's their decision. To say that somebody is or is not a good coach because you believe in a choice that they made for their own life, I poo-poo on that. This man is winning. This man is showing he is a winner. This man has shown us in the past. He knows how to win. And I don't care. I remember, you guys remember that year the Lakers had Gary Payton, Karl Malone. They just had a super team. And I don't recall them going to the NBA Finals that year. So I don't care who this man has on his team. He's getting them to play together. He's getting them to show their talent. And everyone, you can go to any one of those players on that Milwaukee roster and have a one-on-one and ask them, how do they feel about Doc? Because seriously, his players, his coaches, and the top brass in his organization, they're the only ones that matter. They are the only ones that matter. So, and I'm of the mindset that I don't care about anything other than the sport that the man is being paid to lead. That's all I care about. I don't care about his – I hear people talking about Andy Reid with his child. So what? That's a whole different issue. One thing you cannot do, you can't mention Andy Reid without being a Super Bowl champion.
No.
You can't. And you can't mention Doc without mentioning he is an NBA champion. So all that other stuff about he's married to a white woman and this and that and the third, nobody cares about that. That's who he chose. Well, that's his thing. What in the hell business is it of anyone else?
Well, Kel, my mother said the wedding was nice because she went to the wedding. So, but check it out. Like I said, he got Giannis to buy in to what it is, and then Giannis also not said that he's relenting his leadership or the team. But he knows to let Dame do what Dame do. You know, that's what he said.
Right.
Dame does
right.
what Dame does. So we just got to get out his way. So. And Dame is brought in to say, hey, and Dame is feeling comfortable more and more with taking his Dame time shots, and that's what they needed, a killer.
Right.
You know, Middleton
right.
would
right.
give you that like he was before, and then Dame is a different type of sniper than Middleton. Middleton more of a short range.
Yeah.
He can hit a little three, but he's short range, you know, mid-range in a sense, though. You know, so
mm-hmm.
when Dame's feeling comfortable with Giannis buying in, to Doc's coaching style and also playing defense. They're playing defense more now. You even got Dame stepping up slightly playing defense. You know? You got Giannis
right.
just not blocking
right.
shots when they come at him. He's stretching it, like I was showing you before. You stretching to get shots, you know? Using that length, you know? And like you say, you put Bobby Porter, because that's the engine as far as, you know, for the crowd. You know, the crowd loves him. That Bobby, you know, that's what they want to hear. That's what he want to hear. He gets hyped,
yep.
and they need that.
Right.
So
yep.
watch
yep.
him, man. And they get Middleton back when they got a nice bitch with Crowder playing at D.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. They're going to
yeah.
be dangerous.
Yeah.
They got
yeah.
a couple more players I might be missing, but they go be okay. You know, and he got people that don't want to quit because Giannis hungry.
Giannis
want
another.
Hey, Kel, before I go, I just want to mention something. On my show this Saturday, it's a milestone show for me, so I'm hoping you and a few of the other ones from the show can call in. It's from Saturday 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3 to 5 for you in Chicago. The number is 512-543-4662. I'll repeat it again, 512-543-4662. I'll explain what the milestone is if you call on Saturday. So I hope you do.
I will.
Okay. That's what's up.
Born in the East at 3 o'clock in Chicago.
4-6.
Okay.
4-6, you.
Remind me, kid. I get it from you.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, I think I already got the number, Lou, but I'll make sure I post it and let everyone know that it's a milestone show for you.
And give my tell your partner too.
Who's that?
Your co-host.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. All y'all are my co-hosts, man. All of y'all are my co-hosts.
Well, I'm in treats.
All right. I got you.
I'll give it my best.
I got you. Yes, sir. Will do.
Have a good one, Lou.
Again, Lou, you still with me? Nope, you don't go. Okay. I want to go over this Milwaukee roster real quick. Okay? We got Giannis at power forward, Damian Lillard at point guard, Brooke Lopez at center, Chris Middleton, small forward, Malik Beasley, small forward, Giannis' brother, Tenise Antetokounmpo, at small forward. You got Bobby Portis, power forward, Marjan Bechamp at small forward, Jay Crowder, small forward, and Andre Jackson Jr., point guard, Pat Connaughton, small forward, A.J. Green at shooting guard, Ty Washington Jr. at point guard, and I can't see the last guy. Hold on, let me blow him up. I can't see this last guy. Chris something. I can't see him, y'all, for some reason. But listen, that is a hell of a team. That is a hell of a team, man. All the way down the bench. Pat Connaughton, but Jay Crowder, sleeper. Bobby Portis, sleeper. You know? I mean, these guys know basketball. And I'm not saying that other teams don't. I'm not saying that at all. But these guys know when it comes down to it, you know, what they need to do, where they need to be, and how they need to do it. I watch, and I haven't seen Dame do this with any other team that he's been with. But hold on, y'all. Chris Livingston, that's the name I didn't get, Chris Livingston. I saw Brooke Lopez set a screen for Dame. Dame ran hardtail around that screen. Brooke Lopez hit him with the pass. Boom. He banged a three. I said, I've always seen Dame bang threes, but I've never seen him truly work for it. It's like he come down the court, he open, boom, he shoots. You know what I mean? But to see him actually work for it now, I said to myself, this whole team has bought in to what Doc is preaching, you know? And then you watch the team on the sideline, on the bench. They're as into it as if they're actually playing everything that happens. They act as if when Dame banged one of them threes, it was the first time they ever seen it. Portis, like Ted said, crowd and team favorite, the engine of that team. When he makes a play, they go off as if they've never seen it before. And I'm telling y'all, man, with that intensity and that energy, I wouldn't be surprised, man, if we're not looking at the team that will be the champion when it's all said and done. I would not be surprised at all. Now, I watched Miami last night, and Miami was shorthanded. They didn't have everybody on the team. They didn't have everyone there, but they played a hell of a game. They played a hell of a game, and they won. So, you know, there are some teams out there that will be sneaking up on folk as well. But with my money right now, Milwaukee, man. Milwaukee,
well,
them boys, man.
I think opposition, you know, will be, as far as the East, I'm looking at Milwaukee too, you know, but Boston, as we know, is going to be tough, you know. And then also you got to look at Indiana. Just something about when they play Indiana. But if they play them in that series, that, we know that's going to be a dogfight because they don't like each other at all. So I think Milwaukee going to pull that out because Giannis got some hate in his heart, you know, for them because they took that ball from him when he scored that 60 points or whatever. You know, whatever how many points he got, I don't know how many he got, but you know they didn't give him the ball, so they end up giving the ball later, but he don't think it was the game ball. So it's some static against that. So Philly ain't no contest, we know. Miami, yeah, they still ain't big though, man, and Milwaukee is too big, and Milwaukee, I mean, you got Middleton coming off the bench now because you got Beasley starting now. You got Dame and you got Beasley starting, and then you got, like you say, that front line with Bobby Portis and Giannis and Lopez. And then you bring in, like you say, Crowder. There's that second team with Crowder and Middleton. And then that boy Jackson been scoring too, that other forward you mentioned. He's been doing pretty good for them, small forward. So, like you say, they got a nice bench. But God got a nice bench, and I think if they go against Boston, I don't think Boston coach is the coach for them, and I think Milwaukee might be a little bit too big. But they got girth. You know, Boston got length a little bit, but Milwaukee got some girth, you know, with that length. So,
I'm calling it right now. When it comes to the East, Milwaukee is the only team I see that will, A, give Denver some serious run, and B, when it comes to the Celtics, it's just something about this Celtics team that it's something missing with them. It may be the coach. It may be a dominant coach, you know, that's missing with them. But every time I watch the Celtics, I feel like something's missing.
Yeah. And Milwaukee respects Doc. He has respect to them, you know. And I agree with you as far as Boston. What I think about Boston is you know, Jaylen Brown, I don't think I would separate them because there is a pair you need, a pair like that. But it's like they don't know really who the closer. You know, I don't know if Jaylen sometimes say, man, I want to take over. You know, I know they slate Tatum to be the closer, but I'm also can do it too. You know, because Jaylen can get on fire where he's killing you. You know, also he get where he just, man, I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? What are you thinking about? You know? And stuff. And then Tatum, he don't have no hustle as far as defense. You know, he's lacking on defense. Right. You know, he complained. He want to wave his arms and worry about calling fouls instead of hustling back on defense. So they got to slack on defense. Yeah, Porzingis can block some shots, but he ain't really no rim protector like that. You know? You know, he get it mainly on his length and all that, but he ain't blocking too many of Giannis's. I don't think so.
Nah. He ain't blocking too many of Lopez. He ain't blocking too many of Lopez shots. He ain't blocking too many of Giannis or even Porter's. Even mm-hmm. Porter's. And
he get a few.
And he gonna get you some rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
I like Porzingis. You know, it's no way one season away from Washington. And I'm sitting there saying, I don't like the man. I like Porzingis. I like his game. But
right.
Boston needs more, in my book. Boston needs more.
Yeah.
It just looks like Milwaukee has been put together correct. They have really been put together correct. And I just don't see anybody stopping them right now at this. Now, we started talking about injuries or... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jim.
You good.
I was just gonna say,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't know why Boston got rid of Williams the third. You know.
Right.
Because I don't think he's with them. I thought they were supposed to be getting him back.
I haven't seen anything.
If he's not with them, that's where that defense go, that anchor. And if they had him. Then I say, okay, you got a shot blocker. You know, you got a person that'll get you 20 rebounds. Along with Porzingis. But I don't know what happened with him or what have you. So, like you said, I'm with you. I called it that Doc was going to get the coach's position. I called, like you say, you know, I'm the first, like I tell you, man, the first to, when he do wrong and mess up, I'm going to be the first to get on him. But when he do good, I'm his champion. You know, I'm gonna champion for him because I know what you know. He's been a coach since he's been playing since he was in high school because he coached me. You know what I'm saying? So I know. You know, he knows basketball. He know how to play it because he played in the wars against Larry Bird and them, against Mike and Isaiah and them. You know, and when Isaiah was about to get into a fight and they were homeboys. You know what I mean? So, and
right,
Doc ain't no punk.
Right,
so that's one thing I know too. I put it on Milwaukee, like you say, man. I put it on Milwaukee because Embiid is done. The process is over. They need to get it out of their head about him.
So what do you think Philly should do with Embiid? You talking about trading him, acquiring more talent to put around him? What do you think the move should be with Embiid?
Well, every time they put, they've been, I don't know if somebody else on the call, I'll shut up and digress and let you take another call.
That's you good. Me. You good.
Okay. I think they should go and get rid of him, man, because he stayed hurt. Well, I mean, because why they think people think he got value, I'll go and get rid of him. I don't care, man. You know, for me. You know, I mean, he is big, a big attraction. He draws a lot of foul, but he stays injured. And I don't think he's hungry enough. I think, you know, he claimed he won a championship number. I think he trying, you know, I think he would like to get another MVP, you know, because he didn't get it this year. So he might want to come back, if he come back next year, proving, well, I want to get an MVP. I don't think he's home built like that to get a championship, man. And they done been trying to put players around him. He had Jimmy Butler, you know. And they were supposed to be cool. But Jimmy said they saw. So, you know, that tells you that then. And so then he had, you know, the Ben Simmons fiasco. He didn't want to deal with Ben. Like I said, they had all that trash about Ben. But remember when Embiid was out, Ben had a good run, a stretch. You know, and by Ben, this culture with these young people, they can't take a lot of criticism, you know. You can't, so it bothered with his mental and stuff. And then, you know, with injury, you know, back when it's the back, you can never tell what's going on with that, you know. I mean, it can flare up any time, you know, so.
We saw the back completely take Tiger Woods out of his game. You know, yes, he was a little older, but we saw that back completely take him out of his game, seriously. It wasn't nothing he could do. I, I, I remember he swung to hit the ball with the five iron, and it hit the ground. And man, that man looked like he had needles going from his heels all the way up to his neck, you know, in pain.
Yeah.
So that back ain't nothing to play with, man. That back ain't nothing to play with, you know. Everything above and beneath your waist depends on that back. So, you know,
you got to figure basketball is different sports. You running and jumping, you know, twisting and turning. So,
but
I say that to say, you know, and then they had, like I said, the Harden experiment and stuff, and you know, Harden give up on Doc, you know, and they talking about why he can't. I know he didn't told him what to do and told him this and that. So what, he can't go out there and play for them, you know, the coach can't go out and play for them. So, like I said, they gave up on him. You know, and B got his MVP, and that's all he wanted, and that was that. You know, so we'll see, though. But like I say, they're going to be tight. But I don't think nobody can challenge them. But Milwaukee, I mean, Miami just too small. The only person, teams that can challenge is maybe Indiana and then either Boston as far as in the East.
Okay. Well, judging by the West, then we Denver is the only team you see in the West that may give Milwaukee some challenge. You know,
Denver better be careful to make it. It's, you know, because showed that West.
Well, we know Phoenix won't be there. I think they'll make it at least to the play-in, but I don't really got Phoenix making no noise, man. They're two key players, and those key players, I don't want to say they're injury-prone, but seeing those two get hurt won't surprise me, and that's Beal and Kevin Durant. Seriously, seeing them get injured, it won't surprise me for real. So, now let's switch lane. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that West is tough because I mean, you know, it's tight in that West. Denver and Phoenix and all them, they like 4 and 5 and stuff like that. You got Minnesota 1. You got I can't think of who's 2. And you got like Clippers up in there, like 3rd or 4th. They all tied up in there. So I'm like, man, somebody gonna get knocked out early if they, you know, play each other and what have you. So they better come with it the first round and be healthy because it's gonna be tough. And if Minnesota, they could be, that team. But it's just that state coach also need to be able to corral Cat and just really get in his stuff, man. Pull him by the collar and say, listen, dude, I know you think you're the best big man three-point shooter, you know, but you need to get your butt inside some, you know. You need to rebound more, you know, because you're not getting rebound consistently, you know. You need to help Moody out. You need to cut to the basket. Let's follow shots up, you know, and block some shots. You need to help block some shots. You quit putting your arm back, like your arms too short to box with God, you know. Stretch your arms, man. That's one thing I hate. If you're going to get a foul anyway, man, go on and try to block the shot. Don't let them get the ball up, man.
Right now, the standings in the Western Conference, you got the Timberwolves at number 1, 40-17. The Thunder at number 2, 40-17.
That's it.
You got the Nuggets. The Nuggets at number 3, 39-19. You got the Clippers at number 4, 37-19. And then the Suns are number 5 at 34-24. That Clippers team, they sneaky. They sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to surprise a lot of people come playoff time. Seriously. I think that Clipper team, they surprised me coming on like they have. And I thought that the reunion of Westbrook and Harden wasn't going to work. I'm going to be honest. I didn't think it was going to work, but it seemed to me that they working out just fine. They are working out just fine together. And you know, I know a lot of people don't really agree with Westbrook as a teammate or whatever, but I like Westbrook. I like Westbrook. You know, a lot of people label him a trash talker. You know,
who doesn't? Listen, in basketball, who doesn't, man? You know?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's my argument.
How I used to talk. Huh?
I say that's my argument. Who don't talk trash in basketball?
Right.
In any level.
Saying?
Any level.
Listen.
The little youngins, hey, all the way up to the adults.
All day. I told you, you know, and stuff. And so it's like stuff, you know, people, Kevin Durant makes stuff anyway, man, you know, with the quote that he said, you know. You know, he's totally mixed up, okay, about things. Right. So, you know, he switched because he couldn't. I guess he deal with it. Westbrook is aggressive. He's passionate. You know, he's aggressive. Mm-hmm. And you know, hey, if I can give me 110%, because you know, regardless if he mess up or this and that, he's trying to give 110%.
When it comes to Kevin Durant, I think Durant spends too much time worrying about the crowd, the fans, you know. Anytime you make up a dummy account just to talk, and I'm like, why did you need to do that? You know, nobody cares what people who aren't on that court with you playing think. Am I wrong about that? You know, to me, it's like, break it down in our terms, okay? We worried about one plug on the power strip not working. Four other plugs, man. What are you worried about that one plug not working? Do what you got to do, or let's move on. Go ahead.
Right. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. His quote. Huh?
His quote says,
it says, you got to sell what you're doing. You haven't sold. I'm sorry. Let me start over. You got to sell what you're doing. I haven't sold it enough. I don't feel like I need to. That's one quote.
What?
You want to analyze that first?
What is he referring to? What is it that he feels like he doesn't have to sell? Or he's already...
I don't know, but...
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm going to say this for example. I got into an argument with my wife's nephew, man, which I love, man. And you know, he has a program in Nevada working with youth, you know. So I told you about that. I mentioned about, you know, sending Marquise out there, you know. Because besides them, yeah. I got people out there, right? So, I talked to him about that. So he was telling me, he mentioned talking about, well, you know, you got to sell the kids and this and that. And, you know, once they get a job, you know, they be stuck and don't want to do this. I said, yeah, that's why I'm I don't want him to get stuck. That's why I want to send him out there with you guys. Anytime about you guys stuff. So I'm telling him about, you know, Marquis and this and that and his accomplishments and what he did and what his skills and all this. Then he want to say, well, you trying to sell him to me. What the hell? That's what you said I'm supposed to do to people. So, you know, and
Marquis,
his quote, I don't understand that. You said you felt that, you know, you're not, you gotta sell what you're doing. You're supposed to sell what you're playing, like, okay, but you feel that you haven't done enough, okay, but then now you're saying that you feel that you don't need to. I'm perplexed. I mean,
hey,
I don't understand that one.
FYI, Marquis is Brother Ted's godson, and he's a big dude. He is a big dude, and I get exactly what you know, insight on the situation. I get what Ted is saying. And he does sell, you know, playing and ball to Marquis. It's just up to Marquis to make that decision. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But Durant, I'm just, what is it that he feels as though he needs to sell that he's not selling? You know, why did he feel the need to make that type of statement?
Well, they was talking about his leadership, you know? Somebody else on?
Well, yeah, we're never going to mistake Durant for being a leader. That's not him at all. Not at all.
Right. You know, people arguing about, you know, well, they're arguing about the different type of leaders and this and that. Yeah, I sure understand that. But like you say, you talked about, you know, I can't see, you know, he has the caliber type of leaders where you show by example. Type, he need to show by more than example in his field and what his team went through and what he's supposed to mean to the team. And if you want to say you're one of these top 25 players now in the league, you know, top 10, that's what you have to do, man. You know, you let Kyrie run amok and what's the name? You know, you couldn't make up your mind. You left after Golden State beat you from Oklahoma City, which I thought was, you go to a team that beat you. Man, after we have a fight, man, you know, I ain't finna just, you know, join a game. We have a game in Chicago. Y'all got crew. I ain't finna join your crew, man. You know, we finna fight again next year, man, or the next day. You know what I'm saying? I ain't finna join your crew. But he did
Trains
that.
Trains up, dude.
And guess two, then he called himself. Go ahead, sir.
That was
red.
Go ahead, Red.
Trains up, hoes down. Whoa. Put my fingers up in the air. What's up, cuz?
What's up, Red T?
Everybody, cuz. I'm trying to get all the gang together, cuz. So we can have some unity together, cuz. And you say about Kyrie Irving, cuz. Where the hell is Kyrie? You ain't heard about Kyrie Irving all season long. Where Kyrie at? What team Kyrie on? That's how much I heard about Kyrie.
He's balling in Dallas.
Hold on. You know why he's balling in Dallas? Because he's doing his job. And he's leaving all of that other drama, all that outside thoughts alone. And he's playing with got him the money, the game of basketball. Kevin Durant has never said he was a leader. He never said he never tried to be. Kevin Durant need to audition for a Nancy the Spider, the Booker, not because that ball pack he got on the top of his head looked like a pot of beans been put on. So, but I love KD. You know KD and his mama, we all close to the finales and everything and stuff. They're like my half-cousin, the cousin's cousin. And no, he ain't never coming to D.C., Bama. But what's going
good
on, though, D.B. Kev? Lady T on here, she down on
well,
here?
Let me say this. No.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Let me say this. Kyrie Irving wasn't doing nothing but being an African-American citizen when he put that out there about that movie. And everybody got in an uproar and saying he was wrong. It was the same as when that politician told LeBron, shut up and dribble. Everybody was in an uproar. No, she didn't. Well, they was telling Kyrie the
same
thing.
She did kind of say that. But hold on, Kerry. Let me just say this. I'm not against what Kyrie Irving was saying, but what I'm trying to say is he just figured out how to play the masses. Y'all not going to get me caught up in this stuff. I'm just going to play basketball. And when I'm ready to talk about what I'm going to talk about, I'm going to put it out in a different form of fashion so y'all can't rag me like y'all did before. I never said what he said was wrong. I'm just saying his focus has just been on basketball. Not because of the masses. It's because that's what he wanted to do. He just figured out how to play these Bambas. If you, even Kev, you done told me this many a time and many a day. Rev, you done gave them fuel to put fire or whatever, you know, whatever, fuel to start a fire. And, oh, no, I didn't, Kev. Yes, you did, Rev.
Yeah.
And what I do, I put fuel on for them to start a fire. You did? That man ain't did that. But I didn't call you to really dribble on basketball. I leave that to the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, the Globetrotters, the new Globetrotters, they looking good, man. They looking real good. But, you know, and when I speak about the Globetrotters, why we going to NBA, see, everything I say got a reason, Kel. You should know that. Is that 57 with you, Kel?
No. That's Keith.
Who is that, your co-op? Who?
Keith.
That's Keith. But look, one thing, you know what the Harlem Globetrotters has given to the NBA? The Harlem Globetrotters, and what they used to call them Bammers, they used to beat up on all the time, the Washington Generals.
The General.
You know what they've given to the NBA?
What's that?
High-scoring basketball games. Let me tell you, Bammers, one thing that's definitely good and true, if you need some quick money, take $5 and go pick three teams on one of them little sport betting apps and just bet for over 220 points. You guaranteed to win. You can't lose with the stuff I just told you to use. Charge that to the game because that's what the NBA is all about. The NBA All-Star Break showed me everything that I need to know. All these Bammers like to do is to run down the court, dunk, or shoot damn long-range half-court threes. But defense has gone out the window. Did I say enough?
Well, Rev, the Harlem Globetrotters come on Saturday morning. Every morning on Saturday.
They do? On what channel?
I think about, check about 10 o'clock, 10 or 11, because I record them every Saturday, man.
They
have an excellent show.
So I can watch it with my son. Yeah, I like the Globetrotters. Yeah, Metal Lock, Lemon, all that stuff. Lil Curly is Curly. It was bald headed. He ain't had no head, but they call him Curly.
He had too much jerry curl in his head,
and it made him go bald. You know, like Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson had a beautiful jerry curl. He had the most beautifulness.
Boy.
Him and Dion. You talk about let your soul glow.
Man,
they had that natural glow. Yeah.
That's an oxymoron. That is an oxymoron. I ain't never seen a beautiful jerry curl. I'm sorry.
They had beautiful jerry curls. They were just beautiful. They just walk around them. They had Jesus glow around them like,
my goodness.
Let me say this real quick.
Yeah.
I like to retract my statement as far as I said, Kyrie to Shanigan. Now, as far as the COVID situation and all that, and like you say, the Jewish stuff, I don't think that was shenanigans because Aaron Rodgers, he lied about him taking the test and all that, you know, and they didn't give him no flack, but they got all over Kyrie. Try to embarrass him. Try to demasculate him. You know, and all that, make them apologize and this and that. So that was wrong with him. But I'm talking about as far as the shenanigans, I heard that he would hold his own practice in a sense, and the fact that he said he don't need no coach, you know, like that. If you don't, you feel that way, you shouldn't let that get out to the media like that, you know. Even though Steve Young, you know, they gave him that position without ever having no experience in this and that. We know that was politics, but that was Kyrie should have kept under his belt on that, you know. But other than that, he's balling in Dallas. They done found their little niche with this, with the little addition that they got with Gafford, P.J. Washington, and some more little players. They fitting it in. They just need to pass a little bit more. Luka passes, he passes some, but he does need to stop holding it so much. You know, 10 seconds dribbling and 12 seconds, you know. They need to whip that ball around.
I ain't mad at you, but anyway, Kel, before we jump off of this NBA, you hit my head about my thoughts on these Commanders real quick, and then I'm gonna be like Beyonce, I mean like Frankie Beverly, and not Beyonce, and then I'm gonna let y'all go. But listen here though, I want to say this though, the Euro Washington Wizards, that's what I just wanted to say about the
The Euro Washington Wizards.
I'm passing out that praise God, Candy Gale. Go ahead.
I don't know where to go with that.
Ain't nowhere to go. Ain't nowhere to go but up. They ain't going up, bro. They just going down. Like a weight in the seat. Down. Drowning.
There they are.
Drowning the damn parking outside more than the damn tickets on the front row. Yeah, I said the parking on the outside more than the tickets on the front row. Down. Capital Arena won't go around. Taillon's going down. Caps going down. Everybody damn going down up in that arena. Just down.
You know what? I think they should have, when they brought Poole in, they should have brought him off the bench, not bring him in start. You know, because with bringing him in starting, that kind of affect Kuzma, you know, because they was bringing the hype about, instead of, you know, promoting Kuzma more, giving it to his team, they promoted Poole, you know, like he was going to be the savior to me.
I got to bounce to the ounce DMV Kale
and Brother Keith and all my love brothers and sisters here on the DMV Chaos Corner show. I love y'all from the left. I love y'all to the
well,
right. But I'm about to put my left in front of my right, and I'm going to be like out of sight. Yeah, brother.
Let me say this before you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to keep your negativity on my Washington team on is it the Revival? Is it the Revival Sports
Negativity. Negativity.
Yeah, keep all that off of my joint, man, because my team's about to turn around, man. Yeah, the Wizards don't, you know, they the Wizards, man. Them Caps playing damn good hockey. The Nets gonna come in playing damn good baseball. DC Defenders gonna play good spring ball this year, as they always done. And then my Washington football team, bruh, they gonna make you put some respect on their name, leader.
Bye, Bama.
What do you think?
They gonna make you put some respect.
Bless you. Love, brother.
Let's take another call. 7816. Forgive me if you called in before, but I can't remember this number. Who's this and where you from? 720 area code. Okay. We got a listener. What's up, listener? How you doing? All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, it's football time, combine time. Yes, sir. I've been waiting for this. We'll be right back. 5-6-3.
Are you Ellie?
And lost in the game.
And the game done chose me.
To bring pain. Pretty women and fake thugs, one in the same.
Ever since you told me.
There's only room for two. I'm making less room for you.
Now only God can hold me.
Hug me, love me, judge me. The only man that hovers above me. Holler.
He say, I'm real. Y'all talk about I had to get that one out. All right, y'all. NFL Combine starts Thursday. And I wanted to take time to look at the top 10 wide receiver prospects coming out this year. We looked over the offensive linemen last week. So we're going to do the top 10 wide receivers now. Give me a second. Let me get it all in order. Okay. We got Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. We got Keon Coleman from Florida State. Roman Wilson from Michigan. Brendan Rice from USC. Jacob Cowley from Arizona. All right. And number five, Brian Thomas Jr., LSU. Four, Troy Franklin from Oregon. Three, Rome Odunze from Washington. Two, Malik Nabers, LSU. And the number one wide receiver prospect coming out, we all know, Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State. Marvin Harrison Jr. with Ohio State. Again, I am adamant on my position and my decision with what I want Washington to do. I don't think a quarterback is necessary, truly. I truly don't think a quarterback is necessary. I like Sam Howell. And the first season that they put him out there, he had an offensive line. So he did some good things, which led to him starting last season. And we saw, without the help of a true offensive line, the man suffered. He suffered badly out there. I mean, it was times when I was like, what is he doing? You know, what's going on with Sam Howell? You know, why is he messing up like he is? It was just the offensive line. It was just the offensive line. So go and put some real talent around this man. You know, put some real talent around him, man. It doesn't make any sense to me. It really does not make any sense to me. And for those of you who are of the mindset that Ron Rivera didn't sabotage this team, see why we cut all of that starting line from this team before we even got out of training camp, before we even got out of preseason. And we see these guys sprinkled throughout the NFL, and they doing the thing. They is doing it for real. So I'm telling y'all, it was on Ron Rivera last season with this Washington team. I think that if they go ahead and draft real life, at quarterback, I would keep Brissett because he is a proven veteran backup. I keep him. And I let Sam Howell start. I let him start. And to take it even further, I would have a serious, legitimate quarterback competition during training camp. I would make them fight for the job. I would say, first day, we don't have a starter yet. We're letting these guys go for it and see who really wants it. And whoever wins it, they win it. That's all it is to it. Fields, yeah, I do like Justin Fields. I like him. I haven't seen anything from him that I haven't liked. But when it comes to Justin Fields, we got to realize this young man has had a different offensive coordinator throughout his NFL career. He's been with Chicago 3 seasons, and he's had a different offensive coordinator every season. And it seems like all of them are doing the same thing with this young man. Now we want you to do this. Oh, now we want you to do that. But do this, though. Nah, do that, though. That's crazy. It's hard for any quarterback to get comfortable and get a groove going, a rhythm, when you got coordinators telling you to do different things. So I don't blame Fields for all we did not see. I don't blame Fields for all we saw. I blame that coaching staff. I blame the fact that Chicago never got anyone, and as the offensive coordinator, to fit what that young man does, to go along with his skill set. And if you ask me, when you're doing that, you're setting your own team up for a loss. You're setting your own team up for a loss. I think Chicago should draft Marvin Harrison and with that number one pick, and then concentrate on your offensive line, man. Concentrating on putting somebody better around that. Chicago almost has the same thing, same problem as Washington does. Y'all trying to put anything around this young man and expecting the best. Go ahead, kid. I hear you. Go ahead.
How you going to go from talk about your team and then go talk about my team? I can get it. That's true. I mean, you was very analytical about it. You know, you was on point about that. Yeah, true. But, you know, they not fitting his skill set, that, you know, and that making him be undecisive and stuff. He's not playing like he played when he was at Ohio State. You got to run, take that run. You're big and strong, you know. You got to throw, take that throw. Don't be hesitant. But they need to put weapons around him. Yeah, true. I like Marvin Harris. We do need another receiver, because Moore, he's not, they okay, but he didn't show me much, you know. But like you say, our coordinator is not putting the whole team in a position to be successful, you know. But I'm looking at the business side. He's going into his fourth year. He's going to be looking for a payday. When we can get a generational talent that we don't have to pay for rookie salary, you know, we can have him for a while. So, and then we got nice pick where we can address the offensive tackle, you know. So we might can pick up some wide receivers as far as in some free agents and whatever and stuff. So, that's where I'm at with that. You know, Justin, I like him. He's okay, you know. But as I say, man, we got to look at how much he's going to be demanding for next year. You know, we only got to, pay Caleb, which they going after, rookie salary.
Yeah, but eventually he's going to come to that contract. Oh, that's one thing every quarterback has in common. Eventually, it comes down to a contract fall. So I feel, and only this season will truly tell, I believe, what you have I don't forgot the boy's name just that quick. Justin Fields. Only this season to tell us what you really have in him as a prospect. But
if they keep him.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah, they should. They should. Let me. I think this is Kirby.
You stay with your. You stay
Kirby,
with your James. Sam Howell. You stay
yeah.
with your Sam Howell. You general
hey,
manager.
I like hey, what Tim. I like what Tim says. I think we're gonna go on and draft this Daniel from LSU. So why not get one or two wide receivers from LSU? We got two good ones there at LSU, and Daniels is used to working with them, you know. So
mm-hmm.
that kind of makes sense. But like Doc Walker said, as far as keeping Howell, is it that it ought to be up to Kingsbury to see if Howell can fit into his system. And if he can't fit into that system, then trade him and get us a third round draft pick. See,
that's what I
agree with also. But you know, it's possible that we can draft Daniels and Howell can beat him out in open competition, or pick up
mm-hmm.
Fields or something like that. They're just all kind of things. But they are talking to other teams, you know, about other players and stuff, you know.
Well, as it stands right now, Washington has 11 picks and a boatload of money. So I feel if they do trade that number two pick, they should be able to practically make up a whole new team, and to take a page from Ted with Chicago, have a whole lot of players mm-hmm. that really are not up on that big contract yet. So, you know, that would be a good move, but I've watched Daniels. I'm not real sold on him. I'm not real sold on Daniel, man. To me, I'm sold on Howell, man. I'm sold on Howell, and I believe that Howell would be a great quarterback for Washington this year.
And
I believe
Howell
would be a great quarterback. And with help on that offensive line. But, hey, Kirby, I think the system won't be the problem as much as giving that young man help on the offensive line. Give him.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely, definitely. Yeah, that was my biggest problem the whole year. Last year was Howell and Hill had like 2.5 seconds, you know, instead of 3 or 4 seconds, you know.
And guys, I hate to do this, but we up on it. I want to get this topic out, and that's the Cam Newton situation. Have you guys seen anything about that? He was jumped. He was holding a tournament, and he was jumped by everybody's saying players, but it wasn't the players. It was the coaches from the other team, and they got a video of one of the coaches who Cam Newton. Now, don't get me wrong. Cam didn't suffer no injury. He didn't get beat up. He didn't get hurt. He was tossing them dudes, slamming them dudes around. But I'm feeling like, why was that even happening? I've never seen Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning. I've never seen any of these guys go through a situation like this where they were people come into their camp that they're sponsoring and come with that foolishness. trying to fight the man. Seriously, whoa. Cam Newton is 6 feet and some change, over 200 pounds. What did y'all think y'all was going to do with him for real? Seriously. I mean, it makes no sense to me. And people wonder why people get money and leave certain environments and don't come back. Well, it's this type of stuff that makes that possible. It's this type of stuff that makes that go on because people don't want to feel unsafe. They don't want to feel that they are caught up in the middle of a situation. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. There's no way I would come back and give my attention and my time to people whom which I know only going to be causing trouble, bringing nonsense to me. That's just the way I feel about it. Have you guys seen that tape?
No. I haven't seen
it. It's sad. It's sad, man. It's sad. I'm serious. It's terrible that this man can't come and give back. And instead of appreciating him and respecting him, these dudes want to fight. Seriously? And then again, like I say, none of y'all could handle him. Go ahead.
Kill. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I saw the tape, you know, and I slowed it down and this and that. But, see, you know, he had different reports. You know, the first thing we talked about, it was teenagers, you know, young people. But I didn't. Then also I heard that it was coaches like you reported. But then also I saw one dude that was in like the braids and the white sweater who got the swing in real good.
Yeah.
I thought he was more so looked like he was in his 20s or what have you. But I don't know. And then like you say, it took like it's like 4 or 5. You know. But what killed me? Mm-hmm. How long it went on and how slow his staff, the guards, the security was on the scene and breaking it up. You know, they was like they were scared to break it up, like they was watching, you know what I'm saying? Because like you see, he had one dude by the thing and another dude grab it, then he was against the rail, then you had that dude had time to come over and hit him and steal on him. And then that's when they come in the picture. Where was his guards and security people at? And then after they broke up, when it was, I saw they keep showing little clips at different times, you know. So then I finally seen one when he was walking back, like, and that dude with the white shirt was like came closer to him. But then I didn't see, you know, after that if the dude said something or whatever, if they got in another altercation. But how could that dude not be restrained? And he's still on cam.
Yeah. Hold on, Ted. We're going to pick this up Thursday, y'all. We're going to continue this conversation on Thursday because there's still a lot that I want to say about this. We up against it right now. So all I'm going to say is thanks for your time today, guys. I'm looking forward to Thursday. We can finish this conversation, and we'll actually see a couple of these players at the combine on Thursday. So we'll talk about it then. 563-999-3782. You guys have a great, great, great Wednesday, an even greater Thursday, and taking it into the weekend. No phone call, no text, no drink. It's more important than your life. Put them cell phones down. Matter of fact, if you're drinking, don't even drive. Don't even drive, Richard Sherman. Another topic we didn't get into. But we'll definitely catch up and get into it, guys.
You might hear the bump and spill some.
Only curb.
I'll
get up with you guys on Thursday. We'll get up on Thursday.
All right, fellas. Love you guys. Be safe, man.
Big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. G-G-G-G-G.
you know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuffs that'll freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breathing, talk about what's the reason. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama, better trust and believe them. In the cut where I keep them, till I need the word, till I need to beat it up, then it's beep beep, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piss and cup, divorce them and split his bucks. Just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin', me give my heart to a woman. Not for nothing, never happen, I'll be forever mackin'. Hardcore is assassins, I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting. Mommy, get your butts in here, let's ride.
Big Southern rap here from Sario. Coming straight about the black barrio. Make the meal up off of sorry. Cause sit back and beat my scenario. Oops, my bad, that's my scenario. No, I can't scare it. Now every time, every place, everywhere we go. Well, stop pointing and say, there he goes. Now you know we carry more in a little bit. We don't pull it out. And if you catch a lick when I spit, then it won't be a little hit. Go read a book, you illiterate son of a kid. And step up your vocab. Don't be surprised with me and you see it coming down on your slab. Living get so fabulous, so mad you just can't take it. But you hate now, then you wait while I get your tip butt naked. Just break it. You gotta pay like you way wet with two pairs of clothes on. Now get your ass to the back as a blast to the track. Timberland, let me spit my pros on. Post it up in the pro zone. That's the track that we breaking these zones. Ain't the track that we flow on. Get hot to start popping like ozone. We keep on crunk like we really don't get no bigger, man. Don't trip, let's just get thrown on the flip and blow.
Big pimpin',
bigger man,
we be.
Big pimpin', spin the cheese, we be. Big pimpin' on BLATs, we be. Big pimpin' down in PAT, it's just that jigger man. Pimp, B-U-N-B, cause we be. Big pimpin', spin the cheese, and we be. Big pimpin' on BLATs.
With Bun B, Pimp C, and Timothy. We got chicks in the back of the truck laughing it up, Jigga man, that's what's up.
We be big pimpin', spin the cheese. We be big pimpin' on BLATs. We be big pimpin' down at PAT. It's just that Jigga man, Pimp C, and B-U-N-B. And we be big pimpin', spin the cheese. And we be big pimpin' on BLATs.